Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, Westerns. Later on, we'll hear The Frontier Gentleman from 1958. But first, a broadcast of Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The episode called Blood Money from February 8, 1949.
It's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And now, another exciting story of the early West, Blood Money. It was good to be heading home, even though the Bar 20 was a rugged 100 miles to the south, across a stretch of desert even the rats had forsaken. The rodeo in Eagle City had been a whopping success, and the effects of it still lingered in the muscles and reminded a man he was only second best when it came to calling a steer's bluff.
Oh, my back. Ooh. Hoppy.
What is it, California?
Do you mind if I act like a human being and say I'm plumb ready to give out? Oh, my stomach.
I thought it was your back.
It's both. My back's so tired I can hardly keep the saddle. And my stomach's so empty, it feels like I swallowed a couple of gopher holes.
Well, it won't be much longer now, California. We'll rest at Tim Bartlett's ranch for an hour or two, and maybe Tim's wife can rustle up some grub for us.
Well, if she can't, there's going to be one less horse in the world. This Tim Bartlett must be an all-fired good friend of yours, Hoppy, if you're willing to go 25 miles out of your way to see him.
He is. Tim and I were cowpokes together back when we were cutting our eye teeth. Haven't seen him in nearly 2 years. Hope he's still living in Twin Bluffs.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder if there is a Twin Bluffs. This shortcut through the hills just seems to be taking us farther and farther from civilization.
Can't be far away now. Just tighten your belt and make believe you're... Wait. Look there.
Hmm?
Down there by the river. You see anything peculiar?
Oh, can't say, sir. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks like a man digging.
Now, what do you suppose he'd be digging for up here in the hills?
Oh, search me. Okay, we've seen a man digging. Now, let's go.
California, wait.
Hmm?
Something mighty strange about this. He must have dug quite a hole in the amount of dirt he's shoveling it back in. Wish we were close enough to get a good look. Is that a suitcase he's coming?
Oh, Hoppy, if you knew how dead blame hungry I am.
Now he's coming the hole up again. Seems to be in an awful hurry, too.
He's in no more of a hurry than I am. Hoppy, please.
Okay, California. Guess it's none of our business. Mighty peculiar, though.
If you had as much appetite as you had curiosity, we'd both be full by now.
There he goes, riding off up the trail. Sure isn't a powerful rush. Well, come on. We can't be far from Twin Bluffs.
Well, I hope not, because if we are, I'm going to...
Wait.
Oh, now what?
Pull up a minute. Look down there. Somebody else just rode up and stopped where that man was digging.
Well, maybe they was together and got lost.
No, this fella's getting down. Look, he's starting to dig, too.
Them Twin Bluffers are the diggingest critters I ever seen.
He seems to be digging right where the other fellow was. Sure, see? He's going after what's buried.
Yeah, you're right. Now, why do you suppose he...
Uh-oh. A shot. And it got that fellow. Come on. Here, California, help me roll him over. Well, he's still alive. Easy now. Why, it's Tim.
What? You mean the fellow we was on our way to see?
Yeah, he's still breathing, but he's in bad shape. We got to get him into town right away. What's in the suitcase?
I didn't open it. Here, we'll see. Well, I'll be hogtied. Empty.
On
the way home from the rodeo in Eagle City, Hoppy and California see an unidentified man burying something in the ground and ride away. Then a second man rides onto the scene and is shot. The man turns out to be Hoppy's friend, Tim Bartlett, and is badly wounded. The object buried turns out to be a suitcase, an empty suitcase. Hoppy and California are now seeking information in the Golden Nugget.
Yes, gents, what'll it be?
A little information, bartender. Can you tell us how to get to Tim Bartlett's ranch?
Bartlett? Oh, sorry, I've only been in Twin Bluffs a couple of weeks. Don't believe I can help you.
Well, maybe some of the boys can.
Maybe. Any of you fellas know where Tim Bartlett's place is?
Who wants to know about the Bartlett place?
I do.
Who are you?
Name's Cassidy. What's that got to do with it?
We'll see.
This here's Sheriff Simmons, gent.
Don't they give the sheriff a badge in this town?
I take it off when I play poker. Makes the boys more comfortable. You know Tim Bartlett?
I did. Tim's dead. He died in the doctor's office not 15 minutes ago.
Dead?
That's right. He was shot up in the hills. My partner and I brought him in.
We seen it happen with our own eyes.
Hey, boss, did you hear that? Tim Bartlett was shot dead. Tim
Bartlett. Who shot him, mister?
I don't know. We were too far away to see.
You sure?
What do you mean by that?
I mean it don't sound right to me when a couple of strangers come into town carrying a man's body and say they saw it happen but don't know who done it.
Well, that's the way it was.
It sure was. You can take our word for it.
Why should I?
Look, Sheriff, I don't blame you for being suspicious, but I've been a friend of Tim Bartlett's for years. I'd be obliged if you'd direct me to his ranch so I can break the news to his widow.
Yeah? Well, just don't try to leave town in a hurry, stranger. Or you and your friend might end up being permanent residents in this town. Awful permanent.
Thanks for your friendly advice.
Let's finish this hand, boys. Looks like I got a little business to take care of.
Nice, pleasant sort of fella.
Just a little tip, gents. Don't try to pull any fast ones on Sheriff Simmons.
You a friend of his?
Nobody's got a friend in this town.
You know, you look familiar. Sure we haven't met somewhere before?
I don't reckon. Like I said, I'm a stranger in these parts.
Yeah, I know. I must have you confused with someone else.
Looks that way, stranger. Just remember what I told you about the sheriff.
Yeah, he looks like a hard man. With a deck of cards, that is. Come on, California.
No, Madge. You gotta get a grip on yourself. Tim would want it that way.
Well, I know, Uncle Harry. But he was everything to me. Everything.
Sure he was, Madge. But Mr. Peters is right. You've got to act in a way Tim would be proud of.
I just can't understand it. Why would anyone want to kill Tim? It was Uncle Harry who was threatened.
You mentioned that before. Would you mind explaining?
Maybe I'd better do it, Mr. Cassidy. About 6 months ago, my doctor in Brooklyn advised me to move to a western climate for my health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was practically penniless. But I remembered that I had a nephew out here in Twin Bluffs, although I'd never seen him. So I wrote to him and explained the story, and Tim sent me the money to come west. I just got here a week ago.
But the threat Madge mentioned, what was that?
Oh, a letter. It came yesterday. Here, you can read it for yourself.
Unless you leave $5,000 in cash underneath Hangman's Oak by midnight Thursday, you'll be hanging from the tree on Friday.
Yeah, and in case you've forgotten, today is Thursday.
But I thought you said you had no money, Mr. Peters.
I don't. Why? Tim even bought my cigars for me.
I think we should do what the letter says and see what happens.
Yeah, but how can we? I haven't got a penny to my name and no way of getting it.
I don't mean to use actual money. We'll fake it. Wrap some newspapers in a package and put it under Hangman's Oak. Tonight at 12. We'll have the sheriff and a posse wait for it.
I'm warning you, Cassidy. If you got me out here to Hangman's Oak on a wild goose chase, I'm gonna be mighty unhappy.
I can't guarantee anything, Sheriff. All I know is what the letter said.
How many people know about it?
Just you, Madge, Mr. Peters, and myself. I didn't even tell my partner. I figured the fewer people who knew what we were up to, the better.
I'm glad to see you use your head. Now wait. There's someone coming.
Why, it's Mr. Peters. He's putting a package under the tree, and then he'll ride off and sneak back here to join us.
We'll wait 15 minutes. No more.
There he goes. think there was a witch behind him riding a broom.
I said 15 minutes, Cassidy.
Yeah.
Coming in a buggy. Get ready.
Pull in those reins. Put up your hands.
This is a holdup. I'm warning you. I have... Oh, Sheriff. And Mr. Cassidy.
Evening, Doc. Kind of late for a buggy ride, isn't it?
Yeah. What's the idea, Doc? What are you doing up here?
I'm on my way to see a patient. Wasn't able to get away until now.
There ain't nobody living up here in the hills, and you know it.
Well, it's Fred Carter's kid down in the valley. I'm afraid he's got the measles. I'm taking a shortcut through the hills. Now, look, if you don't believe
nobody
me...
Nobody said they don't believe you, Doc.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. But make sure you go all the way to Carter's place.
Of course. What is this, anyway?
Just a little precaution, Doc. Sorry to have bothered you.
Well, that's all right. Pip. Hope you find whoever you're looking for. Good night.
Night, Doc.
Well, Cassidy, 5 minutes more.
Listen, someone coming. Peters. Right here, Peters.
Hi. Thought maybe I'd lost you. Ooh, this place gives me the shivers.
Throw away that cigar.
Hmm? Oh, sorry. I was just so nervous. Any sign yet?
No, and if you ask me, there ain't gonna be. Time's up, Cassidy. And like I warned you, I'm mighty unhappy.
I'm sorry, Sheriff. I hope we might be able to... Wait. Did you hear that?
Yeah, there's someone coming, all right. You got your guns ready?
Don't worry. Quiet now. All right. When I give the word... Move in fast. Now,
stand where you are or we'll shoot.
What the...
Drop that gun, mister. Now turn around and face the moonlight so we can see what you look like.
Why, sure.
California.
Hello, Hoppy. You sort of surprised me.
Yeah, so I reckon. You better hand over that package.
What is this? Ain't that your partner, Cassidy?
Yes, Sheriff. I'm sorry to say he is, or was. You just couldn't resist it, could you, California?
Oh, I'm sorry, Hoppy. I tried it. Just weren't no use. I kept thinking of all the things I'd be able to do with that money and...
I reckon one of you'd better start explaining what this is all about and fast.
I think I can explain it, Sheriff. We didn't tell California about our plan tonight for good reason. I don't mind saying this isn't the first time he's caused trouble like this.
No, Hoppy.
It might interest you to know the only things in that bundle are pieces of newspaper.
What? You mean there's no money?
That's right. You took a big gamble and lost.
Well, I'll be...
There's something else we ought to get settled now, too. Mr. Peters.
Huh?
I think it's time you told us the truth about the money.
Well, what are you talking about? I told you I was broke.
Yeah, I know you did. But Tim Barker told me he'd seen you stuffing several large stacks of bills under a floorboard in your room.
What?
He didn't say anything about it to you at the time because he wanted to see how long you'd continue to sponge off of him and why.
What? That's a lie. I'm broke. I tell you, I ain't got a penny.
Shall we all go back to the ranch and have a look under the floorboards in your room?
Well, I'd... all right, I might as well admit it. I got $8,000 there.
Well...
Yeah, it's my life savings. You see, back east, everybody was always hounding me for money. I never had any peace. So I thought I could start over out here, pretend I was broke and not be pestered.
You see, California, the money was right there in the house all the time. You could have saved yourself a lot of trouble.
Well, there ain't no use in hanging around here any longer. I'll take this crook in and put him where he belongs.
Oh, but Hoppy, you ain't gonna let him do this to me, are you?
Sorry, California, you asked for it. Maybe this is just the thing you needed.
Stop gabbing and get moving. Cassidy... I'd feel better if you rode up in front with him, or I can keep an eye on both of you.
Whatever you say, Sheriff. Let's go, California.
Well, Hoppy, how'd I do?
Fine, California. You even had me believing you.
Just don't forget, I'm only kidding. I don't want to set up housekeeping in the town jail.
Don't worry, this is all part of a plan. And it won't take long, because if we're going to pull it off, there's no time to lose.
It's 8 o'clock the following evening. Moonlight shines through the bars of the Twin Bluffs jail, revealing California Carlson fidgeting in his tiny, damp cell.
California. Psst. California.
Hmm? Who's there?
It's Hoppy. Come to the window.
Oh, go away. I don't know you.
Stop acting like a child and come to the window.
Fine pal you are. Thought you were going to get me out of here.
I am, but we can't rush things. How are you?
I'm dying of an acute case of empty stomach. But I ain't asking for sympathy. All I want's food. You ain't going to leave me in this flea bag, are you?
Just for a little while longer. This act of yours has already helped to throw the real crook off the trail.
Well, all right. But I ain't the type to be a jailbird. By the way, I had another visitor tonight.
Who?
That bartender, the fellow you thought you knew from someplace.
What did he want?
Well, darned if I know. Feller ain't much of a talker. He just give me this envelope to give to you.
Envelope?
Yeah. What is it, Hoppy?
Well, I'll be... I knew I'd seen that hombre somewhere.
Who?
There isn't time to explain right now. I'm on my way to keep an important date.
Well, there's one more thing, Hoppy. A few minutes ago, just after the bartender had left, I heard the sheriff telling one of his deputies to go get that bartender and bring him in. Sounded like he wanted him real bad.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Real bad. I'd better be on my way. Shake, California?
Shake, partner. I'll just tighten my belt. But I'm down to the last notch.
See you later.
It's a beautiful night, isn't it, Uncle Harry?
Yeah, it sure is, Madge. That moonlight shining here in the garden sure makes a pretty sight.
If only Tim could be here to share it with us.
Oh, now, Madge, no need to wish things like that. You've been a brave girl. I admire you.
Thank you, Uncle Harry. You're sweet.
Uncle Harry.
What's that?
What's what, Uncle Harry?
Didn't you hear that voice?
I didn't hear anything. It must have been a coyote.
Uncle Harry.
There it is again, and it's no coyote. What do you suppose? Look.
Why, Uncle Harry, what's the matter? You look as if you'd seen a ghost.
It is a ghost. Can't you see it? Look, there in the tree. It's Tim.
Tim? But that's absurd. I don't see anything.
But you must. He's there, I tell you. Just his face shining through the darkness.
Uncle Harry.
There it is again.
You're imagining things. We'd better go in the house.
Uncle Harry.
Go away, no. Go away. Leave me alone. Hey, did you hear that? Those leaves rustled.
It might have been the breeze.
No, I don't feel no breeze. Well, there's one way of finding out. I'm going to put some lead up there.
No, don't shoot, Uncle Harry. Please don't shoot.
Well, why not? Hey, what's the matter with you? A minute ago, you said it was just my imagination.
Well, maybe you're not imagining it. Maybe it really is a ghost.
Yeah, well, I'm going to find out. Here, you stand in front of me.
What are you doing?
Just providing myself with a little protection. There. Now, you up there in the tree. If you're a human being, I'm giving you a chance to come down. If you're something else, a little thing like a bullet won't bother you. Now, which is it going to be?
Tim! Tim, you've got to come down.
All right, Uncle Harry. Looks like you've got the upper hand.
Well, wait a minute. Don't come no closer.
Don't worry. It's me, all right, in the flesh.
Oh, Tim, I'm sorry. I'm afraid I spoiled things.
It's all right, Madge. I guess it was a crazy idea. There was just a chance it might work.
Oh, cut the chatter. Now, what's going on here anyway? I thought that you was dead.
You thought you'd killed me. Is that what you were going to say, Uncle Harry? Well, is it?
Well, since this gun is cocked, I'll answer the questions. Now, out with it. How did you get here?
Yeah, it's very simple. When Hopalong Cassidy brought me into the doctor's office yesterday, we decided to let people think I was dead.
Go on talking.
Not much more to tell. We staged this little scene here tonight, hoping we'd be able to frighten you into confessing.
If only I hadn't spoiled things. But I was afraid...
Hey, what's that stuff you got on your face?
Alkali mixed with some chemical the doc gave us.
So you thought you'd scare me, huh? Well, it looks like your Uncle Harry was a little too smart for you.
You may as well drop the pretense now. I know you're not my Uncle Harry.
You're a pretty smart guy, ain't you?
What did you do with my uncle?
We was on the stagecoach together. He found out too much, the nosy old fool.
So you killed him and became Harry Peters?
Sure, why not?
And then you tried to kill me, because I saw you putting that money under the floorboards.
You got nosy, too, just like your uncle.
But someone else knows your secret.
Nobody but you and your wife. Stand over there with your husband, Madge.
No. You can't do this. You can't shoot us in cold blood.
You had it all figured out, didn't you, Bartlett? Well, it won't do you no good because the secret is going to die with you. Right now.
Tim!
Tim, are you all right?
All right, Hoppy. You fired just in time.
I didn't fire that shot.
You didn't? Well, then... Listen.
Yeah, we had an uninvited guest. How about the old man?
He's dead.
You stay here with Madge. Whoever fired that shot must have been afraid of something else the old man was going to say. I think I know who it was. I'm going after him.
Be careful, Hoppy.
Don't you want me to come with you?
No, thanks. It's time you two had a reunion without a third party around. See you later.
All right, Cassidy. Stop where you are. And keep your saddle or you'll get a dose of lead.
Well, Sheriff Simmons, just like you to give a man a sporting chance.
Never mind the wisecracks. Drop your guns to the ground.
Anything to oblige the law.
Nice of you to meet me here at Hangman's Oak, Cassidy. It'll make it real handy.
Handy for what?
For a hanging. I've got a rope here that'll make a perfect tie for that neck of yours. Like this.
You work fast, don't you, Simmons?
Too bad you had to find out the hard way, Cassidy. Now move your horse along under that tree. Easy. I wouldn't want you to hang yourself before I got the chance to do it for you.
I suppose you got a good reason for going to all this trouble.
Yeah. I hate meddlers. You didn't really think you'd fool me with that act you and your partner put on up here last night, did you?
Why shouldn't I?
Don't play dumb, Cassidy. It's too late. I was outside the cell tonight when you were talking to your pal, California. Clever stunt you boys pulled. But it won't do you any good now. I'm the one who's clever, in case you're interested.
So you're the one who shot the old man Peter just now?
Yeah, the old fool. And I'm the one who sent him that letter asking for the $5,000. I got a notice from the U.S. Marshal last week, complete with picture, saying to be on the lookout for the old guy. He was wanted for murder.
And you saw a chance to pick up some easy money.
Sure. With him being a fugitive from the law, he wouldn't dare make a squawk.
Why didn't you take him last night, then?
Because there was still a chance I could frighten the old boy into sharing some of his money. But you and Bartlett had to go nosing into it.
You bet we did.
I'll deal with him after I've taken care of you. Anything more you want to say?
Nothing, except I'm glad to know I was right. I pegged you for a skunk the first time I laid eyes on you.
Why, you...
You wouldn't care to take this rope off my neck and do that again, would you?
I'm not wasting any more time with you, Cassidy. I'm throwing this rope over the limb of that tree. Now, get ready. I'm going to count to three. Then I'll give your horse a kick. From then on, you'll be out on a limb. I sort of like that.
Your sense of humor fits your personality, Simmons.
That's the last wisecrack you'll ever make, Cassidy. Get ready to swing. I'm starting to count, Cassidy. I'll go to three. One. Two. Three.
Hold it, Simmons. Don't move.
Hey, what the?
Look out! Oh, nice shooting if I ever seen it. You all right, Hoppy?
I'm all right, California, but that's as close to dying as I ever want to come.
I'm sure glad we weren't 5 minutes late.
You're glad. What about me, Marshal?
Oh, so you did recognize me. Sorry to keep up that bartender act with you.
It wasn't until California gave me your note that I pegged you as the U.S. Marshal I met in Carson City.
I had to send you that note, Cassidy, and warn you to look out for the sheriff.
But how'd you know the sheriff and I were up here at Hangman's Tree?
Well, the marshal was obliging enough to come get me out of jail.
Yeah, and then we hurried over to Tim Bartlett's ranch, and they told us you'd ridden off after the murderer.
Well, I guess that's the end for this crooked sheriff.
Say, Marshal, I was wondering, just out of curiosity, you understand, if there's a reward for this capture.
California.
Well, Hoppy, I...
Maybe we can arrange something, California.
Yeah?
Here's the bag of money the old man hid under the floorboards. Help yourself.
Hmm? You mean it?
Sure, reach in and take a handful.
Well, now, I don't mind if I do.
Whee! Ain't that pretty? Oh, boy!
I'll just take the rest back to headquarters as evidence. And then we'll burn it.
Huh? Burn it?
Yeah. I guess I forgot to tell you, the old man wasn't just wanted for murder. He also happened to be the slickest counterfeiter east of the Rockies.
You mean... Shucks.
That's what you get for being so greedy, California. From now on, you better limit your appetite to food.
This means it's so long from Hoppy in California once again. They're riding back to the Bar 20 now to tell all the other Waddies of the exciting little escapade you just heard. If you'd like more of these two-gun adventures of Hoppy's, don't forget you can see him in the fine Hopalong Cassidy pictures at your local theater. Meanwhile, we're hoping you'll tune in next time Hopalong rides the airwaves to bring you more action out of the Old West. Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr. Blood Money was written by Robert Burdick. All stories are based upon the characters created by Clarence E. Mulford. This is a Commodore production.
Hopalong Cassidy, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 8th of February, 1949. In May of that year, William Boyd made a rare guest appearance on Maxwell House Coffee Time, better known as the Burns and Allen Show, which tied in William Boyd's success on television with reruns of the many movies he had made up to that point. In the episode, Gracie tries to get him to retire so George Burns could have a career as a TV cowboy. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for The Frontier Gentleman with a story, Aces and Eights, known as The Dead Man's Hand. This from April 20th, 1958, on CBS.
In a card game, aces and eights are known throughout the West as a dead man's hand. There's a good reason for it. And this is the story of how the hand got its name.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just 1 minute, we'll bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentlemen. This is James Matthews with official results on the automobile competition the whole industry watches every year, the famous Mobile Gas Economy Run. This year's run, 1,883 miles from Los Angeles to Galveston, Texas, ranging from sea level through mountain passes. And once again, Chrysler Corporation cars took the lion's share of firsts. Plymouth, Chrysler, and Imperial again this year for the second straight year, winning first place over all other cars in their class in the famous Economy Run. Imperial, by the way, was sweepstakes winner, too, getting 62.7188 ton miles per gallon. The forward look is a lot more than look. You get a better engine, brawnier brakes, torsionier ride at no extra cost, and winning performance and economy in cars of the forward look from Chrysler Corporation. Take a drive this week in a car of the forward look. Plymouth, Dodge, DeSoto, Chrysler, or the triumphant Imperial. Drive one of America's performance winners from Chrysler Corporation. Now starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I left Fort Benton, Montana Territory, in a little river steamer called the Pride of the West. The journey downstream on the Missouri was a good deal faster than that which I had made coming up from St. Louis just a few months earlier. I decided to write some articles for the London Times on river travel in the American West. But the balmy weather, coupled with a feeling of complete indolence, made me put off all thought of work. Several days passed, and then we docked at Fort Pierre in Dakota Territory. I went ashore to purchase a new pair of boots, and it was in the store of an outfitter named Judd Scott that I first heard the name of Deadwood.
Well, the left one might be a bit tight. Yes, right here, in the heel.
Oh, she'll ease up, mister. Of course, I don't do much trade in ready-mades. If you had more time, I'd make you a real fine pair. Finest in Dakota Territory. Here, let me take it off. I'll try to work it out. So you're a newspaper correspondent, huh? Well, we've had them come through, but none from England. Must be pretty interesting, your line of work.
Yes, it is. Quite.
Too bad you ain't staying around these parts. Your folks back home would get a pleasure out of reading about things we got around here.
You mean in Fort Pierre?
Well, there ain't too much going on here. I guess you could write about Jack McCall, though. Try it on now. It should be better.
Jack McCall, huh?
He used to drive a stage between here and Deadwood. Got some tall yarns to spin about Indians and the like. Go ahead. Take a walk now.
Yes, I'd like to meet him.
He's back in Deadwood now. How's that? That better?
Yes, fine. Where is Deadwood?
You mean you ain't heard of it? Worst bunch of cutthroats and outlaws living in all the territories, and the United States is in Deadwood. They even got Wild Bill Hickok out there. I hear tell there's folks wanting to put him up for marshal.
Hickok? Yes, I've heard of him.
Yeah, it won't take Wild Bill long to clean up, I can tell you.
Deadwood, huh?
Oh, you taking the boots?
I'm taking them.
I sold the remainder of my ticket to a man booking passage for St. Louis, and the next day took the stage from Fort Pierre to Deadwood in the Black Hills of Dakota Territory. At the stagecoach station in Deadwood, I inquired after Jack McCall and was directed to Carl Mann's saloon. Even though it was Sunday, I was surprised to see that the place was practically empty. A hatchet-faced woman, dressed in black, was drinking alone at the bar, and I found McCall, a broken-nosed, sullen-looking man, sitting at a table playing a game of solitaire.
Yeah, that's me. Who's asking to know?
J.B. Kendall.
What's your business, J.B. Kendall?
Well, a gentleman in Fort Pierre mentioned your name. He runs the general store.
Judd Scott?
Yes, that's right.
How come you want to talk with me?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm a newspaper correspondent, and I thought there might be a story to write about Deadwood, and your friend suggested that I get in touch with you.
What kind of story are you thinking about?
I understand that Wild Bill Hickok is in town. Do you know him?
Why don't you ask her?
Hmm?
Or at the bar. Calamity Jane. Figures she knows him better than most.
Oh, thank you, I will. Perhaps I can buy you a drink after?
Suit yourself. I ain't going nowhere.
Miss Jane?
You talking to me? The name's Calamity. Ain't no miss in it. Calamity Jane.
I'm sorry. I'm J.B. Kendall. The gentleman over there mentioned that you were a good friend of Wild Bill Hickok.
Who? Why, that ain't no gentleman. That's a stinking pig by the name of Jack McCall. You've been sitting with him. Don't foul up the air around me. Hit the trail, mister.
Yeah, well, I was hoping you could introduce me to Mr. Hickok.
Hey, you English?
Yes.
Thought so. Knew an English feller down in Abilene. Wouldn't quit riding herd on me. Had to shoot him.
Oh.
New in town, ain't you?
Just arrived.
You ain't friend of McCall?
Oh, I only met him a few minutes ago.
What brings you?
I'm a writer. Newspaper articles for the London Times.
Hey. I guess you heard about me and Wild Bill, huh?
Oh, yes.
Fastest man with a gun you'll ever see. I ain't too bad myself, but I ain't nothing to Wild Bill. Come on over to the table, bring the bottle, and I'll tell you about me and Wild Bill.
Calamity Jane was a strange, almost masculine-looking woman, hard and rough-voiced. She told me of her exploits as a scout with General Crook's army in the war against the Sioux, but most of the time she spoke of Hickok. About a half an hour had passed when I noticed Jack McCall get up from his table and come toward us.
Yes, sir. What Wild Bill done in Abilene, there ain't another man could have handled. Why,
hey, mister, I thought you was going to buy me a drink.
Oh, not just now, Mr. McCall. I'm talking to the lady.
Oh, yeah, I see. It's mostly listening. Ain't nobody gets to talk much around her.
McCall, you want me to put your eyeballs out with this bottle? You open that barn door of yours just once more.
Campbell, you come on down to Boot Hill Saloon when you're through. I'll tell you the truth about that female polecat there in a windy train.
One of these days, me or Wild Bill's gonna pump that coyote full of lead. Except he ain't worth wasting a ball on.
And all I know about him is that he used to drive the stage between here and Fort Pierre.
Yeah, lost that job because he couldn't hold his liquor. He used to be a buffalo hunter till the feller he worked for caught him stealing hides. He ain't no good, that one, and his pals is worse. You ever run into Tim Brady or Johnny Varnes, you watch your step, mister. Them's two of the boys, along with McCall, that Wild Bill's going to run out of this town when he gets to be marshal.
Where is Wild Bill now?
Up in the hills working on his claim. Him and his partner, Colorado Charlie. They ought to be back by tomorrow. He'd like to meet you, mister. Wild Bill always had a liking for you newspaper players. Well, what's your hurry? Sit down. We'll split another bottle.
Thank you, but now I think I'd better get settled. Wash some of this Dakota dust off.
What a dude. All right, go on up the hotel. Tell him Calamity Jane sent you, and if they don't give you the best room, I'll shoot up the place.
The recommendation was most effective. I got the best room in the hotel. 2 hours later, in spite of Calamity Jane's warning, I wandered down to the Boot Hill Saloon. I was curious about McCall and what he might have to say about Calamity and Wild Bill Hickok. I found him there, very drunk. He was talking to a heavy-set man who was chewing on an unlit cigar. McCall greeted me as an old friend.
Hey, what do you say, Colonel? You had enough of that female windbag, eh? Hey, Tim. Tim, this is the fellow I was telling you about. Colonel's his name. Kendall.
Hi. How are you? Tim Brady.
I owe Mr. McCall a drink. I came down to settle my debt.
Oh, that's real fine of you, Kendall. Oh, Jim Kendall's come to Deadwood to write a story about Wild Bill Hickok, the new marshal of Deadwood.
You go get yourself a drink, McCall.
Sure, Tim.
Take a chair, Kendall.
Marshal of Deadwood.
I wouldn't pay no heed to what McCall says. Not when he gets too much whiskey in him.
Did he say something?
About Hickok being marshal.
Well, it's not particularly news. I heard that in Fort Pierre 5 days ago.
Well, don't you believe it.
Huh?
Fellers around here, they don't want his kind. You go writing in your paper a thing like that, you're going to have to turn right around and write that it ain't true.
He's not going to get the job?
No. I tell you, he does a lot of ear greasing, like that crowbait mare, Calamity Jane. But all them things you hear is just a lot of brag. Hickok never plugged a man unless the feller's back was turned. I was down to Abilene when he dragged Gulfstream Cole. This is the worst thing you ever seen. Shot him in the back. Then, by mistake, he goes and kills his own pal, Mike Williams. No, sir. Deadwood ain't gonna put up a man like that for Marshall. You think so?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose it depends on how many want him.
Oh, well, there's a lot of them miners up the hill. They're the ones. Figure he's a real big man. Heard all them crazy stories about it. You want to know what I think?
I'd be very interested.
I don't think he'd last 2 minutes as marshal before somebody shot the daylights out of him. Yes, your best thing for Hickok to do is get out of Deadwood and stay out. You see him, you tell him that.
next night, Calamity Jane introduced me to Wild Bill Hickok. He looked older, more tired than I'd imagined him. As we sat in his room, I noticed that he blinked his eyes, rubbed them, and seemed quite nervous. Constantly glanced toward the door. Calamity had gone out to buy some food.
Me and Colorado Charlie had a rough week up in the hills. Feels kind of good to get back. You ever done any mining, Kendall?
No, no.
Well, have you ever had the idea to get somebody else to do the work for you? Well, what do you think of Deadwood?
Oh, I haven't been here very long.
Ain't much like London, I'll bet.
No, it isn't.
Well, do a little cleaning up like I did in Hayes City in Abilene. We'll have a right nice little town.
When do you expect to begin as marshal?
Any day now, the boys are getting things moving.
I saw a man yesterday, Tim Brady.
Brady?
And he asked me to give you a message.
Huh?
Best thing for Hickok to do is to get out of Deadwood and stay out.
Well, that's what he said, huh?
Yes.
You know why? They're afraid of me. They know what's going to happen after I get sworn in. I run them out, and if they don't run, we have a showdown. Brady and his pal Varnes ain't got stomach for that.
I gather they're the somewhat unsavory element in Deadwood, is that so?
Mister, you ain't just milking pigeons. Why, them miners up in the hills would be dead ducks for Brady and his gang if it weren't for me. This is the worst mining camp in the territory. Ain't been no law here since it started, and Brady don't want none. That's how come the miners want me for marshal. Protection.
Well, I'm surprised he hasn't tried to get rid of you before this.
Yeah, that Jayhawker knows what had happened to him in a shoot-up. He'd likely to try nothing. A fellow like that gets somebody else to do his dirty work.
Oh, it's only me, Bill. Put away the gun.
I told you, Charlie, you ought to knock.
Keep forgetting.
This is J.B. Kendall. He's going to write a story about me for an English paper.
Yeah, I run into Calamity down to Carl's place, and she told me. Nice to meet you, Kendall.
And you, sir.
My old pal, Charlie Utter.
Colorado Charlie's good enough.
Kendall's been talking to Brady.
Oh, that's so? Rest your saddle, Bill. You make me tired standing.
Brady said I ought to get out of town.
Oh, he'd like that fine.
Yeah, he'd like that. Well, I guess I'll go and wash up before Calamity gets back. You staying around, Charlie?
Yeah, I thought maybe we'd go down to Carl's later and play some cards.
All right. I'll be right back.
Sure. Got a lot on his mind, has Wild Bill. He ain't usually like this.
He seems to have trouble with his eyes.
Oh, you noticed, huh? I wouldn't want you to say nothing in front of Bill, but he's been scared he's going blind. Yeah, things sure don't seem like the old days. Oh, I gotta get these boots off. My feet's killing me.
How old is he?
Wild Bill? Yeah, let me see. 39. Of course, to hear him talk, you'd think he's closer to 60. I sure do fret over him sometimes. Always talking about dying, this and that. Ain't like the old days. He sure was a rip-snorter. Oh, well, maybe when he gets to be marshal again, everything will be like it always was.
Calamity Jane came in with the food, and behind her, Bill Hickok. It was a strange supper. Both Colorado Charlie and Calamity kept up a stream of conversation, anecdotes singing the praise of Hickok's past accomplishments, but the atmosphere was strained. The man with the long hair didn't say very much. Afterwards, Charlie Utter invited me to accompany them to the saloon. I noticed that Hickok was reluctant. Possibly he had a feeling, a warning of what was to come. It was 8 o'clock when we arrived at Carl Mann's saloon,
and sat down at the card table.
Charlie, change seats with me. I ain't sitting with my back to the door.
Wild Bill, you're getting worse than an old woman.
Or maybe so, but that's the way it is. I like to see what's coming in.
Well, here. Yeah, take my place if you like.
No, sir. All he wants is a catbird seat. That's how come he's always winning. You ain't moving, Bill.
You got the right idea, Charlie. Wild Bill, you got your seat, and that's the way it's going to be. Carl! Bring us a bottle of whiskey and a deck of cards. Marshal Hickok's going to be the big loser tonight.
After a few minutes, we were joined by a miner, and the five of us played. It was a friendly game, and we could see Hickok beginning to relax. He was a good player and held more than his share of winning hands. But while the game went on, there was something happening down the street in the Boot Hill Saloon. We didn't know it then, but after it was too late, we heard what had taken place. Three men sat in a back room, one of them drinking heavily. This was Jack McCall. The other two were Tim Brady and Johnny Varnes, the leaders of the Tufts in Deadwood.
Well, I'm telling you, Jack, you'll be a big man.
Well, they'll look at you when you walk down the street. They'll say, there goes Jack McCall. He killed Wild Bill Hickok.
You hear what Johnny says?
Yeah, I hear. Give me another drink, Jack.
Well, sure. He's in Carl's place right now. You could get him easy.
Oh, might not be so easy.
Well, you ain't afraid, are you, Jack?
No, I ain't afraid.
No.
No. No, I ain't afraid, but it just won't be so easy.
Of course, we could get somebody else to do it. We just figured, Tim and me, we figured you was a man
for
the
job.
No,
look, I ain't saying I won't do it.
You know what we could do, Johnny?
What?
We could maybe get that newspaper feller, you know, Kendall, to write something about Jack in his paper.
Hmm?
How'd you like to see that, boy, in an English paper? Jack McCall shoots down Wild Bill Hickok. Yeah, you could go on the stage all over with that.
Sure.
Yeah. He's right down the street, Jack. Yeah, I seen him myself. You know what? He's sitting with his back to the door.
You listen. Just listen. How come if you was there, you didn't plug him yourself?
Yeah, it ain't no use, Johnny. He don't understand. All right.
No, wait a minute. I'm just asking, that's all. Now, just tell me how come.
Because Calamity Jane and Colorado Charlie is with him. If they saw me, they'd know something was wrong. But not you, Jack. They wouldn't figure you drawing on Hickok.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's all I wanted to know is why.
All right. What do you say, Jack?
Sure, why not? Sure.
Give him a gun, Johnny. And don't you miss, boy, you hear?
Three kings.
He's beat you, Wild Bill.
I mean, son of a gun, if he hasn't. I had you pegged for no more than two pair.
Yeah, Kendall ain't the best player, see, but he's sure a lucky one. Deal him out, Calamity.
All right.
New feller once in Hayes City drew two card to a royal. Luckiest thing I ever seen.
That's a loco thing for a man to do.
Sure was. Took one look at his hand and keeled over plumb dead.
You know, I had a hand something like that. I won a Chinese girl with it a few weeks ago in Deer Lodge.
Chinese?
I did.
No kidding.
Sure.
What did you do with her?
Well, I gave her to a man I knew. He married her.
Open for a dollar.
Wait. Yes, I'm staying.
Stay? Me too.
I ain't proud. There. Cards?
Three.
Kendall?
Two, please.
Give me one. Here's a man's gonna drop dead if he pulls it right.
How's about you, Charlie?
Two.
Dealer takes three.
Honest woman.
That's one thing I ain't nor never hope to be. Your bet, Wild Bill.
Well, I'll tell you, friend, I'm gonna make this rough on you. $2.
All right. I call.
Not me. And I ain't dropping dead, neither.
Well, I'll see you.
I'm a sucker. All right. What do you got, Wild Bill?
Prettiest two pair you ever seen. Aces and eights.
Wild Bill Hickok slumped forward on the table. He still had the winning smile on his face and the cards crumpled in his tightening fist. It was Calamity Jane who found Jack McCall. He was hiding in a butcher shop nearby. Colorado Charlie and I dragged him away before she had a chance to use the meat cleaver she was holding. We found 6 cartridges in McCall's gun. The only one to fire was the first, the one that killed Hickok. The other 5 were defective. Before I left Deadwood, McCall was tried for murder. But Brady and Barnes must have chosen the jury themselves, because the final verdict was not guilty.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were John McIntyre, Jeanette Nolan, Jack Moyles, Larry Dobkin, Stacey Harris, and Vic Perrin. Music was composed and conducted by Amerigo Marino. Again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. James Matthews speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The Frontier Gentlemen on Tuned to Yesterday from the 20th of April 1958 on CBS. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.